Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. It's been one of those days, you know, when you hear that story of Jamal Murray and the situation for the Nuggets, it's kind of a rough go. And of course, just like that, the Rockies are 3-7. It's kind of sad day here. That's why we got to bring Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. And Drew's not always Mr. Positivity, but he at least makes me feel better when we talk to him. Drew, how are you, my friend?
Well, I'm doing okay. I hope I can live up to that, Brady. It is a tough day.
It is a tough day, man. And I know you, of course, pay attention to all sports, specifically hitting the Rockies. But it's a rough go when you see any player. You know, we were talking about Scott Oberg last week or 2 weeks ago, and you see any player go down for the season, no matter when, no matter what kind of expectations are on a team. It's tough for fans.
Yeah, it sucks. Nobody comes to the sports experience for that, right? Like, we all want to see the best against the best. That's what we're here to do, and we want to see that competition. And I thought particularly the way, like, the rest of the NBA world was reaching out was really kind of moving and interesting, and just seeing guys be like, yeah, we know this, you know, this might mean that we've got a better chance to beat the Nuggets, but that was not their first thought, right? And I thought that was very telling, and I thought that was really cool. And yeah, it's brutal for all the vitriol and anger that oftentimes goes into sports when someone just gets hurt through no fault of their own, and they were playing great and had all this opportunity in front of them, and then something like that happens. It's very humanizing, very humbling for all of us to remember that there are more important things than the outcomes of the games at the end of the day, and you just want to see that young man get back on his feet as soon as he can and get back to doing what he loves to do.
Yeah, no, well said, man. I mean, I think on that side of it, when it comes down to it, like you said, it's important to remember it's about other things too. And when a guy goes down like that, that's their job. I mean, that's their job. That's what they do every day. And now they're told, all right, you got to take a long break from doing that. That's tough mentally for a person to go through. That's tough for the people surrounding him. So that's tough. But we'll be checking it out. Hopefully, he can get back sometime within the next season early for this Nuggets team, and we'll go from there. Drew, you said, hey, it's a good thing that sometimes we don't pay attention to the outcomes of games as much because, you know, there are more important things. Maybe
Rocky segue if ever I heard one.
You know. The Rockies, they did lose a couple of games, but hey, you know what, man? We have baseball.
That's right. There is baseball, and for the most part, it hasn't been
really
unexciting, boring baseball. You know, the series in San Francisco is kind of bleh. If you've never seen the Rockies go on a road trip before, welcome to that experience.
San Francisco's tough to play in anyway for the Rockies, right?
It really is the polar opposite environment of Coors Field, and to go there, play three straight day games, which is super weird, and they've got a young and inexperienced team. I wasn't shocked at all that they didn't play especially well. They got some decent starting pitching, which we hadn't really seen yet to that point, so that was really good. But yeah, for me, it really still is more about, you know, watching these young guys develop. So for example, you know, yeah, the record is what it is, but Ryan McMahon, we're finally seeing what I thought we were going to see out of RyMac. He's slugging the ball. He's near the league leaders in slugging and home runs and exit velocity and all those kinds of things you like to see, really making you know, a name for himself. John Gray has been fantastic so far, pitching for his next contract and coming out and saying he's having more fun than he's maybe ever had before playing baseball. And so, yeah, you know, there are going to be those. They're not going to win a lot of baseball games, folks. It is what it is. But that doesn't mean there's nothing to watch for on a day-to-day basis. And I have found myself really gravitating towards some of these young guys and their stories. And I don't know. That's what's so great about it, Brady. I don't know who's going to pan out and who's not, and which of these guys are going to continue to strike out in the big moment, and so the Rockies lose and you're frustrated, and who in that next time, in June or July or August, when it's too late for the Rockies to get back into it, but it's not too late for Josh Fuentes or Garrett Hampson or Sam Hilliard to say, I'm going to be an important part of the next good Rockies team. We don't know when that'll be, but there are guys on the team right now who are we're going to be there on the next good Rockies team. And we get to kind of witness their origin stories. And we're comic book guys, Brady. We're suckers for good origin stories.
Exactly,
give me a good origin
story. Well, yeah, no origin story starts without a bunch of crap happening first, right? I mean, a bunch of bad stuff has to happen before people get up and realize that, hey, they ain't going to take it anymore.
Right? Like, imagine if Batman or Spider-Man's origin story was just like, well, then they got called up to the majors and they were super awesome, and that's when they decided that they'd to dedicate the rest of their life. Like, no, man, some terrible stuff happened to these guys. And they were like,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Jeff Fuentes didn't even get drafted.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just have like, oh, he was a regular guy, pretty average, pretty good at everything, and then he just kept advancing in his life and then became awesome. The end. I mean, that never pans out. Drew, speaking of awesome superhero status, well, you got to go back through this Nolan Arenado thing last week. Some fans were all bent out of shape about the curtain call. Correct me if I'm wrong. We haven't had like an official curtain call of Nolan Arenado as a Rocky, right?
So I will correct you.
Okay, good. That's why we have you on.
There have been. And I know there were a lot of people who wanted to, for whatever reason, debate like the definition of a curtain call over the Father's Day game.
Right.
But he had another one in 2017 against the Arizona Diamondbacks in the eighth inning, middle of the game. The whole thing came out, tipped his cap. We looked it up. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oops.
Well, okay. So that's good. But some fans are getting like... I don't know. That one doesn't bother me as much. The Adam Wainwright comments bother me a little bit. Now, I get it. It's COVID. I can say, a year or two ago, but I'm like that, man. I get confused easily. These guys are all about stats and numbers, and for Adam Wainwright to say, yeah, for the last year or two, Nolan's been sending me videos of all this, which is weird to me anyway, because you can access all these videos anyway.
Right.
You can send me, he's sending me videos basically saying, hey, show Mo, check it out, check this out, do this thing. That to me almost just says, Nolan, dare I say this, Drew, Nolan signs the contract because it's too good to be true. Is there any part in your brain that goes, he signed it for that reason and that reason alone, knowing that, hey, if we don't get back in the playoffs, it's fine. I'm going to demand a trade. Is that too extreme? Is that disrespectful?
I don't think so, Brady. And there was another thing that came out, oddly enough, in a Denver Post article that was a defense of Nolan Arenado, where his agent was quoted as saying it was less about him wanting to get out of Colorado. He always wanted to go to St. Louis. He's been wanting to go to St. Louis for years.
Wow.
And I went, I'm sorry, what now? Because I thought this was all about how Jeff Breidich sucks and you hate that guy, and so you had to get away from this situation. And everybody here understood that. No Rockies fan was upset with him for that.
Mm-mm.
And no Rockies fan would have been upset with him if in his post-game press conference he'd just come out and said, I can't stand Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich and those guys suck. And nobody would have had a problem. But when you put it all together, the curtain call, the sending videos because you want out, because you want to be somewhere else, other things he said about the fans in the past directly to me that I've actually written about before, like calling them out for doing the wave at the wrong time and stuff like that. Like I don't think it's wrong to start painting a picture and saying it really does look like that Nolan Arenado didn't want to be here and fantasized very specifically about the Cardinals being a better situation for him, including the Cardinals having better fans.
Wow.
And so I understand why Rockies fans took that personally, because I honestly think that that is what he was saying.
Yeah, because, Drew, take me through the timeline here, because even with Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich's press conference that they did back, in February, Dick did come up and said, he said, we signed Nolan, I thought I had the quote in front of me, we signed Nolan to what we thought was a career contract. 9 months later, he wanted out. Now, even that right there goes, wow, only 9 months later, when in 2018, didn't the Rockies spend like a lot of money on the bullpen? It didn't work out, but on paper, it was supposed to. I think anybody would have signed off on that. So I guess with me, I was looking at it going, it did seem like Nolan was very impatient, very fast.
Yeah. And especially, like I said, that comment from his agent that basically made it sound like he's been wanting to get to another specific place for so long. And he's had a bunch of these really weird comments since going over to St. Louis. The strangest one for me, he said something about, like, they teach us stuff here that we never even talked about over there. Like, they're showing us, like, how to run the bases and where you're supposed to touch the bag with your foot. I was like, Nolan, they didn't teach me that in high school anymore. You should know how to run the bases. You're a professional.
He's one of the best players in baseball. Somebody must have done something right.
Yeah, and so it just smacks me as a guy who's trying to paint everything about where he was as negative and everything about where he is now as positive. And he had done a really good job of keeping that separate from the fans right up until the curtain call moment. Because I think you're right. Professionally, we should all be more upset that he's sending video to somebody else. Like, how can you be fully invested in your team? He also had a terrible 2020.
Yeah.
Look at his numbers in 2020. Was that guy fully invested in his team, or was he already looking at the next team?
Wow.
That's a fair question to ask, especially now that he's put that on the table. But I think the reason why the fans got upset about the curtain call thing really is that separation now. Now it's not just about Dick and Jeff. Now it's about us. We didn't do enough for you. We didn't stand up and cheer for you. We didn't absolutely love you every minute of your time here. Now you're a part of the Cardinal tradition, the Cardinal way, the best fans in baseball. And you know how much Rockies fans hate that nonsense? So... yeah.
And now that you say it, you know, and again, this is why Drew, you're a baseball guy. You got the numbers. You have the history. Clarifying that there actually was not just Father's Day, but a clear-cut curtain call moment for him to just kind of gloss over. This is baseball. These guys remember things, and especially a curtain call. I mean, if you did it once, if you did it 20 times, you probably remember every time you did it. And for so actually going back to that, Drew, it does bother me a little bit more knowing there was a definitive curtain call. So I can see that on that side of it. So my goodness, last week I don't know that anything he said in that press conference really would make a Rockies fan feel much better. And dare I say this, Jeff Breidich and Dick Monfort don't look as bad now.
They might look exactly the same amount of bad.
Nolan's just catching him a little bit, maybe.
I think so, because I've seen a number of people come out as I've been saying, man, Nolan shouldn't have said that. They're like, oh, Drew, here you go, defending Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich. I was like, when did I do that? No, like, just because the guy is being what I would say is immature and short-sighted and unnecessarily taking a shot at people who defended him his whole career, doesn't still mean that Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich didn't poison the relationship, aren't part of the reason why the main reason why he feels that way, and still didn't do the least business savvy thing possible in trading him back for financial flexibility and a bunch of dudes nobody had ever heard of.
Drew, we're talking to Drew Kreisman of DNVR Rockies. And Drew, I noted a few things, too, just to talk about here on the show the last couple of days. You know, it wasn't that, and I'm with you. I'm not sticking up for Dick Monfort. I'm not sticking up for Jeff Breidich when I bring these things up. Breidich has been bad the last couple of years, no doubt about it. But I brought up a few things. One was from MLB.com that said Jeff Breidich, it was 2018, that he was one of the more aggressive general managers in the hot stove season, that particular hot stove season. Mm-hmm. And there were other Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post said something like, hey, it's time for us to give Jeff Breidich his due back in late 2017. So it's not like Jeff Breidich's time as a Rockies GM has been awful. They made it to the playoffs twice, back-to-back, first time ever. The next year was bad. You and I even talked about it wondering, was that last year a fluke? And then the COVID year hit, which none of us are taking the COVID year too seriously as far as sports seasons go. So, again, not defending Jeff Breidich, but it's also like, Nolan, it wasn't like they weren't doing anything. Yeah, DJ LeMahieu, that was a big letdown, but they have been improving the starting pitching rotation, I would say.
Yeah, and again, like you said, I mean, it's a fine line between are you trying to make the team better and are you making the team better? And Nolan gets to feel how he gets to feel about that. But, you know, I have it on pretty good authority that he didn't speak to the front office the entire offseason before getting traded. He just refused to meet with them. So I can understand why they thought they were just stuck and were like, well, I guess we have to move him. The other flip part of it, maybe more important than saying, so are we letting Dick and Jeff off the hook or any of these other things, is to look forward, for me anyway, and to say, you know, all that negativity about, well, there's no way Trevor Story's going to sign here if they treat all their guys like that. It's like, well, maybe Nolan Arenado was a unique situation, and maybe he created a little bit more of that than people who just want to love him because he's so great at baseball are ready to recognize. And maybe Trevor Story is a completely different situation and doesn't care at all about that. And, you know, there have been a lot of quotes coming out from the clubhouse. I mentioned John Gray earlier. A lot of guys saying, we're having a lot more fun We're a lot more relaxed. No, we're not winning yet, but we're feeling like we're building some momentum. We're working towards something. Guys are getting their chances to play. No one had been an unhappy customer. Now we know how unhappy for at least a year. Now it sounds like two. And when he's the leader of your team, I can tell you personally, I walked into the clubhouse 5 days after Nolan Arenado, no, 3 days after Nolan Arenado signed the big contract extension. Walked in. There were four reporters there. We're talking just the beat writers. He knows our faces and names, sees us every day. We're standing at his locker. He'd been in like a slump in spring training. He walks in. He puts all his stuff down. He goes, "Ugh, again, every day." And it's like, "Yeah, Nolan, you just got paid $260 million every day, dude. Every day we're gonna ask you questions."
Oh my god!
You know, and I didn't think too much of it at the time. And again, now that's back in 2019, right after he'd signed the deal. But looking back on it, it's like he had kind of a negative attitude ever since then, and that really sucks because he's a phenomenal ball player, maybe the greatest third baseman to ever play the game. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm not out to make him a villain. Nolan was always very gracious with his time for me, and I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he thinks very much about Rockies fans' feelings right now, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's hard not to go back to signing of the contract. Is this more of a means to an end? And, you know, Dick Monfort says it's a career contract. Well, there was a pretty convenient three-year opt-out no matter what. So if Nolan doesn't get traded, if he doesn't force a trade down the road, then, yeah, you got the opt-out down the road. So it's a very interesting thing. And, Drew, one more for you, man. Just on the other players, you just said it with John Gray, even guys like Trevor Story. How do you not, in some sense, take it a little personally that Nolan was basically wanting out because the players around him weren't good enough? Essentially, that's what he said, that Breidich wasn't building this team up around him good enough. How do you not take that personally if you're anybody else on this team?
I've thought about that since the very first time he made public comments about not being happy with the state of the team. And, you know, I said this on the podcast the other day because my guy Patrick was kind of where you are, or certainly more at the beginning of it. Like, is this a big deal? And I was, and he said, you know, those guys are professionals. They understand that guys got to be, and you know what? Some of them do. I'm sure there are guys in that clubhouse who go, "Hey, I'd have done the same thing." And there are some guys in the clubhouse who are in between, just like Rockies fans. Some of them are saying, "No big deal." Some of them are saying, "Man, that's kind of shady, but whatever. Nolan's my guy, ride or die. Doesn't matter. That's my dude. Don't like that, but whatever." And some, yes, there are some guys in that clubhouse now and for a while going, "You weren't fully invested the way I was fully invested. I was ride or die as a member of the Colorado Rockies trying to win a baseball game every single day. And you had your eye on the next thing. And you're going to the media with how you feel disrespected because the team's not good enough and how you want to get to St. Louis. That's where the real team is and where the real fans are." And at some point, yeah, when that guy isn't there anymore, you just, at the very least, you go, "Oh, you know," you relax a little. But I do think there are members of that clubhouse who are not happy about what Adam Wainwright had to say. And, I wouldn't be. If that was my teammate, because that's maybe I'm a sap, right? I'm crying at the Mighty Ducks show that they just put on Disney Plus. So I get it. Like, that's me, okay?
Is that any good?
But, like, we're a team, man. I thought we were a team.
Yeah.
So.
Nah, I'm with you, Drew. I am. I'm trying to not be that guy either. I'm not trying to paint a pretty picture for the Rockies this season, and I don't think you're doing that either, but you're calling it what it is. The comments were something. Drew, we're up against the break, my man. Always appreciate your time. Throw out your Twitter handle so folks can follow along, because we got to get that connection with Drew Kreisman and the Hooligans out here.
Yeah. I'm at Drew Kreisman. Also follow at @DNVR_Rockies. We're tweeting all the time, talking all the time, trying to have fun all the time while still recognizing that the team isn't very good.
Yeah, that's all you can do, my friend. That's all you can do. Drew, appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, 39 minutes after the hour. I loved that segment. That was great. That was great. And Drew is an insider. He's an insider for a reason. He's in the clubhouse. He's talking to these guys. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.